Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
I want to pray because the message that I'm bringing today is I just want to be really sensitive to how I present it. All right, and the title of the message this morning is Reaching the Wanderer. Reaching the Wanderer. All right, let me tell you where the heart is coming from this, is that I believe that we're living in almost an unchurched culture. You know, we're living in a time, I think, right now where, being part of a church or church attendance isn't as top of a priority as it once was. You know, and I understand. You know, I know that I could probably say hello to 10 families online right now. So can we do that? We want to say hello to our online audience. You know, so thank you. And they are faithful. They're faithful every week. You know, but I think that there's something happening in the spirit realm that I think is a tactic of the adversary to distract people from being in the fellowship of the church. All right, so if you just be patient with me, I want to try to bring this in such a way, because this is not a dig at anybody. This is a responsibility that we have as Christians, as part of the body of Christ, that we need to make sure that we are reaching out to the wanderer. Yeah? I've had people tell me before that, you know, especially those, you know, when COVID shut a lot of churches down, and some of those churches didn't open up, some people would say to me, you know, well, COVID hit and my pastor never called me. And my response is, did you ever call him? Did you ever check and see how he was doing? You know, and so listen, I want to tell you, every Sunday, if you're not here and we don't have you online, I do my best to send you a podcast with a personal note that lets you know I love you, we miss you, I want you to get in the Word. You know, I do that because I think it's important that we stay connected. Isn't that right? And so I want to look at a couple verses here. This is where we were last week. Remember, we're on this Following Jesus series right now. And this series was inspired from Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus met Peter and his brother Andrew, who were fishermen, and he simply said, follow me. And so as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's you, by the way, turn to your neighbor and say, you are a minister. Yeah, you need to see yourself as a minister. And by the way, minister really means servant. So you're a servant of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? We want to serve that message. And so he simply said, follow me. And so as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, we thought it would be a good idea. Well, let's just follow Jesus around and see how he does it. You know, let's see how he did. How did he respond? How did he teach? You know, how did he act around people? And so we're on this, a series with that. And last week we looked at Matthew chapter 9. I think it was 7 through 13, but I want to look at Matthew 9, 13, and I want to look at Matthew 12, 7, and I want us to read these two verses out loud together, beginning with Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. Let's read this out loud. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. All right, so last week we talked about what does it mean? He said, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, so I felt that I needed to go and learn what that meant, and that was last week's message, and you certainly can go back on YouTube or podcast and listen to that. But look what he says again. Jesus says this again. He addresses this same thing in Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. He said, go and learn what this means. And then in Matthew chapter 12, verse 7, let's read this out loud. Listen to what he says. Let's read it. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. And I was thinking about this, and I was wondering, how many times have I condemned the guiltless because I didn't know what it meant when God said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice? You know, Jesus is really speaking on behalf of our Heavenly Father's heart about what's most important to him. And so our Heavenly Father, you know, he desires that we love one another, that we love him genuinely and affectionately, but that we also love one another genuinely and affectionately. He doesn't want us just going through the motions. And that's what this mercy, you know, love's mercy and not sacrifice is all about, is that sometimes we find ourselves, and I shared this last week too, that sometimes we as church people, we can become institutionalized. So that we're so comfortable around each other that we're not so comfortable with those out on the street, and we kind of lose touch with that. All right, well, I want to come in at a different angle today, and I want to talk to us about us, you know, about us in the church, and about us who should belong to the church and be part of this family. So Jesus says that God desires mercy more than sacrifice. So he desires love more than he desires law, and he desires relationship more than he desires ritual. All right, now we know it's important that we have some disciplines, you know, some rhythms. You know, I say this about Pastor Jim, you know, one of my best friends, been with us over 21 years. But, and I say this in a positive way, because this is a true character of who Pastor Jim is. He is predictable. I can depend on him. Every time I call him, I know he has a notepad in hand, because I might be driving and I might get an idea. You know, I can depend on him. He's predictable. You know, and so listen, that is a good character to have. Yes. You know, we want to have a church full of predictable people. Yes. Amen? Yes. So that we know we can count on them. Amen? Everyone say mercy, not sacrifice. Mercy, not sacrifice. I'm going to do a little bit of, did a little bit of word studies this week. So the Hebrew word for mercy is hesed. And this is what it means. It means loving kindness, loyalty, unfailing love, compassion, kindness. Hesed is an enduring commitment. Listen to this. Hesed, this mercy, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. It's an enduring commitment. And it's an act of promise. Man, I love that. It's an action. It's a promise. I'm acting on a promise. It's keeping loyalty that is motivated by deep personal care. Come on, how many of you are thankful that the Lord cares for you in a deep and personal way? Yeah. The Strong's definition of mercy is this. This is really good too. Kindness or goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted. Listen to this. Joined with a strong desire to help them. Come on, man. This is our Heavenly Father. The Lord says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. He's saying, this is what I want from you. All right, so our Heavenly Father, man, this is him. He is a God of mercy. Luke chapter 1, verse 50, it says, his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Yeah, so his mercy, his loving kindness, his loyalty, his enduring commitment, you know, his act of promise, his unfailing love, his compassion, his deep personal care is on those who fear him, on those who revere him. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. The Apostle Paul says, but God, who is rich in mercy. God is rich in mercy. Yeah, all these things, we sang it this morning, right? His mercies, they're new every morning. Every morning, this character of him, he's rich in loving kindness. He's rich in loyalty. He's rich in personal care and unfailing love, compassion and kindness. He's rich in mercy towards you. Says, God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, man, that just stood out. I just lifted up my hands when I read this, and I just thanked him for his great love for me. Yes. Man, we can be secure in that. We can be secure in his love, amen? And so when the Lord's talking to us about what he's talking to us about today, there's people that are outside, they're wandering out, and they're not catching this. And Lord said, I need you to go after and reach the wanderer with this kind of love, with this kind of love. He says, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us live together with Christ. He says, by grace you've been saved. So listen, our Heavenly Father is not harsh. He's not unreasonable. You understand? You know, he's not rude. You know, our Heavenly Father, he handles our shortcomings and he handles our faults and our failures with such tender care, a caring, redemptive, gentle hand. You know, he's not looking to spank you. He's not out to get you, he's out to bless you. Amen? His mercies are tender. Psalm 40, verse 11. Listen, why don't we just read this as a prayer? Let's read this. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. Lord, don't withhold your tender mercies. I need them. I need them. I need them because I blow it a lot. I miss the mark sometimes. How about you? Look at Psalm 51, 1 and 2. Let's read this out loud. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. These are good verses to not only memorize, not to have a ritualistic memory, but these are prayers. You know, he says, have mercy upon me according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. And this is what I hear the Lord saying. He's saying, the multitude of your sins and your shortcomings cannot outnumber the multitude of his tender mercies towards you. It's unfailing love. He's got an enduring commitment, and he's tender. Amen? Amen? So let's turn back to Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, because I want to look at the second part of this verse and build from here this morning. Are you tracking with me? Matthew 9, verse 13, Jesus says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And then he goes right into this. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. All right, so the Lord's saying to us this morning, be merciful to the sinner. Yeah, be merciful. I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners to repentance. He's saying, be merciful to the sinner. Be compassionate towards them. Yeah? You know, be kind. Love them with genuine affection. Have an enduring loyalty to them, the sinner, right? This is what Jesus did for us. This is what God did for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It was an act of mercy. Yes. And by the way, we're going to have communion today. But listen, by the way, the most pure sacrifice of mercy was when Jesus gave himself on the cross as the sacrificial Lamb of God. That wasn't just going through the motions. This was, man, I am pouring myself out that you might be free from whatever's binding you up. You know, so there's hope. And the Lord's telling us, man, I need you to capture this chesed. I need you to capture this mercy because the world needs to know I care. They need to know there's hope. There's a lot of people wounded and hurting, and they're wandering around out there. And the Lord's, listen, you're in ministry school. We can't just go through the motions, church. He says, don't just pretend to love them. Really love them. Really love them. So when Jesus says, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, how many of you know that he wasn't just talking to the unbelieving sinners on the street? Listen, he's talking to the believers in the pew. Yeah, that's what he's talking to. He's talking to you and me. You know, he's talking to those of us who have been saved by grace. We're sinners saved by grace. Amen? And so the Greek word for sinner is armatolos. And it's an archer's term for missing the mark. All right, armatolos is also, it also describes the traveler leaving the familiar road and taking twisted paths that cause him to lose his way. Listen, we're all sinners. You know, I think if we're honest this morning, if we're absolutely honest this morning, I think every single one of us would be able to admit that we've all missed the mark. Yeah? I think that we would really be able to admit, if we're really honest about it, we'd be able to admit that, man, we've all left the familiar road. You know, we've all headed down a twisted path, a twisted way of thinking. Isn't that right? And we've lost our way sometimes. That's all of us. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So listen, even though we've been saved by grace, we as Christians still have a tendency to wander away from the beaten path sometimes. Yeah? We have a tendency to drift away from the truth sometimes. So listen, this is what the Lord is saying to us this morning, okay? The Lord is saying that your ministry is not only to the unbelieving sinner on the street, but your ministry is also to the sinner in the pew. All right, so we're dealing with us today. We're not talking about people that aren't saved yet. We're talking about us that are saved. And so the Lord is saying to us, listen, don't forget about or neglect the sinner that's sitting right next to you or should be sitting next to you. Don't forget about him. The Lord's saying, man, I need you to be there for one another in at this hour. That's why commitment is important. That's why it's important that, man, we walk through conflict together. Listen, how can I forgive you as the Lord forgives you if you never hurt me? We got to get rid of this flight mode that, oh, I'm hurt, I'm leaving. You know, that's why there's relationships that are falling apart, churches are splitting. You know, we got to learn how, man, yeah, this hurt, but how do we deal with it? Yeah. We have to learn how to walk through conflict, and we don't do that because I'm hurt. I do it because Jesus took that pain. And in John 17, that was his prayer. Oh, Father, that they would be united as you and I are united. Yes. That they would be perfected in unity. Yes. Unity's our goal. It's not who's right or wrong. At the end of the day, we need to come together and whatever it takes, have those hard conversations so at the end of the day, we can answer that prayer that Jesus prayed. Yes. Do you realize that that is the only prayer that he prayed that we can answer? We're always going to him for stuff. Lord, bless my finances, heal my sickness. Lord, help my marriage, help this. We go all that, and Jesus prayed, Father, I pray that they would be one as we are one. You and I get to answer that prayer. Yes. And the reality is I can't answer it without you. Right? So we got to deal with conflict in this age, church. Yes. We have to deal with it. The Lord's saying, I need you to be there for one another. I need you to be merciful to one another. I need you to be committed and loyal to one another. I need you to love one another with tender affection and genuine compassion. Everyone say, be merciful. Merciful. I looked up a couple synonyms, one for merciful and one for merciless. And the synonyms for synonyms for merciful are patient, compassionate, sympathetic, gracious, kind, forgiving, kind-hearted, tender-hearted, warm-hearted, friendly, providing relief. That's merciful. The Lord wants us to be merciful. The opposite is merciless, callous, cold-blooded, desensitized, pitiless, unsympathetic, ruthless, unforgiving, uncharitable, has the attitude of take no prisoners. Merciless. And the Lord said, I need you to be merciful to one another. Amen. Amen. Our God is full of mercy. He's rich in mercy. And so this morning, you know, our focus is on the believer. All right, our focus is on the Christian who still sins sometimes. Our focus is on the family that we call the church. Amen. Listen, you know, we're in the summer. Most of us know what a riptide is, right? Yes. I mean, we live on the Great Lakes, and so there's a lot of things. A riptide is a strong undercurrent. It's in a confined area, and it really presents a hazard to swimmers. You know, unfortunately and sadly, there are a lot of deaths because of riptides. They cause a lot of fatalities. But riptide is also a condition of the heart. All right, if someone is riptide, isn't that an interesting term? Riptide. If someone is riptide, it means they're caught in a strong negative feeling or force that's difficult to control and very difficult to get out of. An example of this is that you remember like right after 9/11, the warnings of terror attacks sent a riptide of fear throughout our nation. Yeah, when COVID hit, COVID sent a riptide of anxiety and fear worldwide. Gun violence sends a riptide of fear in cities, in neighborhoods, and schools. Riptide's a strong undercurrent. All right, so follow me on this, okay? Because I've been thinking about this because I want to expose the adversary. Amen. Churches can be riptide. Churches can be riptide. There can be a negative undercurrent of sinful behavior or attitudes that pull us out of unity and divide us and separate us. Attitudes, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, pride. These are attitudes. It can be an undercurrent, a riptide that you really don't see on the surface, but it's doing some damage on the inside. Christians, individuals can be riptide. You know, I mean, maybe you're here this morning or you're watching online, or maybe you'll be listening to the podcast at some point in time. But maybe you're hearing this message and there's something pulling at you on the inside, you know. It's an undercurrent. It's a strong negative force that's trying to pull you out. It's trying to pull you out of faith. It's trying to pull you out of fellowship. It's trying to pull you out of hope and joy. It's pulling on you. And it's been difficult for you to control. It's been difficult for you to escape. And listen, I want to tell you the best thing you can hear from me, if that is you are not alone. Yeah, think about this. When a swimmer is caught in a riptide, man, if there's no one around to help them, they panic and they get frantic, right? But if they know that help is on the way, listen, if they can see and hear the instructions of the affirmations of a rescue team, it makes all the difference in the world. And the Lord is saying to us this morning, I need you to be there for one another. I need you to be close enough to see and hear. I need you to be there. I need you to be merciful towards one another. I need you to stick together in this hour. I need you to stay close in this hour because there's a pull, church. There's an undertow. There's a current. There's a demonic influence that's snatching your brothers and sisters out of fellowship. This undertow, this riptide of sorts, it's taken people out way too deep. So we have many Christians, brothers and sisters, many Christians, man, they're just in over their head already. They've been pulled out too deep. They're over their heads in grief. They're over their heads in despair, over their heads in debt, over their heads in anxiety and fear and shame and sin. They're over their head. And what's the Lord saying? I need you to be merciful towards them. I need you to be merciful towards them. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. It says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. So that we don't drift away. You know, last week, you know, we were encouraged by the Lord that the Lord was encouraging us, man, to look for the good in people. That's what he did with Matthew, right? When Jesus called Matthew into ministry, you know, Matthew was a Levite, so he should have been in the temple worshiping God. But he was instead in a tax collector's booth collecting taxes for the Romans. But Jesus saw the good in him. He saw his potential. And so the Lord's been encouraging us, man, when you go out, look for the good in people. You know, find their potential and build on that. Listen, I need that in my life. I do. You know, I need affirmation. I need to have people that see the good in me and build on my potential. But listen, that's not all I need. I need people in my life that love me enough and are courageous enough to alert me to my blind spots. Yeah, I need someone in my corner. I need people in my corner that love me enough, that are courageous enough to pull me aside in love and say, you're drifting. You're drifting. Yeah? That's why it's so important to stay connected to the local church. Listen, I'm going to tell you, the local church is essential to your overall health, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. It's absolutely necessary and extremely important that you stay connected to the local church. But there's a lot of drifters. There's a lot of wanderers. The Lord said, I want you to reach them, but your heart has to be merciful. Otherwise, we just drive them away. But they need us, and we need them. Listen, they are gifts. Man, I want to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow here. Listen, I shouldn't be the only one bringing a word. There's prophecy. There's prophetic songs. There's intercessory prayer. There's so many things that can be happening in the service. I mean, I'm doing what I do, you know. But, man, we have opportunity during a worship service to begin to let the Spirit of God flow. Yeah, not for show, but that the gifts of Christ would be evident, that we can see this is what Jesus looks like, all of these things. And man, I'm telling you, church, we're needing this. Yes. So there's people out there that are drifters, and the Lord says, oh, but they got a gift. I see their potential. I see what they can bring to LWC. Yes. Yeah? Look at Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, as we see the day approaching, that's the day of the Lord when Jesus will return. Man, I'm telling you, Satan's running havoc right now. He's doing everything he can to divide and pull the church apart. When we're together, it's like a campfire. You know, you put a bunch of wood on the fire and spark it up, man, that thing is blazing, right? Well, you know, if you got to put that fire out, what do they tell you to do? Pull the logs apart. Put them out one at a time. And I'm telling you, the enemy knows his time is short, and the Lord is saying, I need you to gather. I need you to come together. I need you to stay close together. I need you to make the body of Christ, the church, a priority again. Because there's safety in those numbers. Amen? So the Lord's calling us to reach out to the wanderer. Look at James chapter 5. Verses 19 through 20. I'm going to read through this, and then I'll just go back and break it down a little bit. By the way, this is Jesus' half-brother that's writing this, James 5, 19 through 20. He says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. All right, so let's break it down. James says, brethren. So who's he talking to? He's talking to Christians. So this is a message to us. He says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, that term among you, well, that lets us know this is a member of the church. They're among us. He says, if anyone among you wanders from the truth. Now listen, we all have a tendency to wander sometimes, don't we? We're vulnerable to wander. I mean, sometimes we just get so busy. We all of a sudden we've wandered. You know, we can be ultimately headed for heaven and presently wandering. So listen, I'm not talking, oh man, you're on your way to hell if you don't come to church. I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is that you can be heaven bound and wandering aimlessly at the same time. Listen, the people that are wandering in this passage, man, those who are wandering from the church, these are born again believers in Jesus Christ. They have a relationship with Jesus, but they're distant. You know, they're not connected to the local body as they once were. All right, so the connection they had previously is not there presently, and they're headed for heaven, but they're just wandering around. Yeah. They're part of the body that isn't working. Like an arm just out there somewhere. And the Lord says, man, I got to get my body back together. You know, the body of Christ, the church, is a representation of the fullness of God. Yeah? So he says, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, well, what does that tell me? It tells me that this person was heading in the right direction at one time, But now, somehow, they lost their way. They got off the beaten track. Somehow, they took another path, and now they're going in the wrong direction. And they need a turnaround. They need a turnaround. They need to be turned back to where they once were. They need to be turned back to the local church. Yeah? Listen, this isn't just about turning someone back that is completely backslidden. Listen, there are a lot of strong Christians who have strong relationships out there, but they're just wandering around. So their gifts aren't being utilized. And the Lord said, I want you to go after the wanderer. And listen, we're not going after them with condemnation, guilt, or shame. We're going after them, man, I'm better with you than without you. Yeah? And listen, this isn't about building LWC. I'm not putting this out there so, we got to fill our seats. I want the seats filled, but listen, my heart is not because, it's going to make me look successful if we have a full church. I don't measure my success on the number of people here. We measure our success on what are we doing that represents the Lord's heart. And if I just want you to go out and reach the wanderer so that I can look like I got a big church, how selfish is that? Listen, this is kingdom work. And the body of Christ operating in all the gifts, it makes the kingdom look like the kingdom. Amen? He says, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, look at verse 20, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Now remember, in the context of this, we're talking about Christian sinners. Right? We're talking about brethren who were among us that wandered. So he's talking to us. He says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death. Save a soul from death. So listen, if I get a fellow Christian who has lost their way, and I turn them back and get them involved in the church once again, it's very, very possible that I may actually save them from death. Well, what kind of death? Man, I'm telling you, I've seen this firsthand. When people have wandered away, and I just kept calling them, I kept going after them. You know, you will save a soul from death. What kind of death? Well, I've seen this firsthand. Save them from taking their own life. Because I was relentless. I've seen it over and over again. I've seen it firsthand, man. Save them from death. What kind of death? Man, I've seen marriages get saved. Dying marriages get saved. Because we're committing to this thing together. We're going to grow together. We're going to learn about this Jesus together. And I've seen marriages get saved from dying too early. I can save people from dying from loneliness. Depression, right? He who turns a sinner back will save a soul from death. You listen, it's quite possible. Oh, man, it's another thing. And I've seen this firsthand. Man, following someone that has a call in their life and relentlessly going after them in mercy, seeing their potential and building on their potential. And I saved a ministry from dying. Yes. Brought them right back into what they're supposed to be doing for the Lord. So that they're walking in the identity, right, Xavier? That we're walking in the identity that Christ has for us. And by the way, this is what OSL 5 is about. I'm going to be teaching on these things, your calling, your identity as a minister. So it's quite possible also that by turning a person back to the fellowship of the church, man, I can save them from physically dying prematurely. Physically dying. You know, because, you know, there are sinful behaviors that if a man or woman continue to persist in, it will cause a person's life to end sooner than it should. Yeah, drug and alcohol addiction. Yeah, hanging out with the wrong crowd. Getting caught with a stray bullet. Yeah, so it's serious. It's serious. You know, that we go after these wanderers and we say, man, we got to plug you in to the body of Christ, because there's life there, there's provision there, there's opportunity there, there's support there. Amen? Amen. That's what the Lord desires, you know. You know, he looked out over the people and he saw they were scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. And he was moved with compassion to draw them in. Other places, Jesus said, man, you know, using the parable, go out into the highways and the byways. Bring them in. We went, they wouldn't come. Then go into the alleys. Bring them into the family of God. Amen, church. Again, the local church is essential. It is absolutely necessary and extremely important to your overall health that you stay plugged into your local church. Yeah? He says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Everyone say cover. The Greek word for that is kalipsis, and it's an act of concealing, hiding, or veiling. It has another meaning in the Hebrew language, and it means to forgive or to overlook. Now, when we talk about overlooking sin, we're not talking about enabling it. Do you understand? I think that there's something in the heart of God that covers something, because if it's exposed, the shame will take you out. Yeah? Covers. Psalm 32:1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, hidden, overlooked, not undealt with, but concealed. Yeah? Yesterday at men's breakfast, Xavier led us into a time of humble confession. You know, from James, where it says, confess your weaknesses or your sins to one another that you might be healed. And it was just a safe environment where we held hands, closed our eyes, and shared some of our vulnerabilities to the Lord. It was beautiful. It was covered. Amen? We knew that in that atmosphere that we weren't going to repeat, we're going to restore. We weren't going to rejoice in your faults, but we're going to restore you. Amen? Amen? And that's what people need. That's what I need. Psalm 85, verse 2 says, you have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. You've covered all their sin. Proverbs 10, 12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Love covers all sins. 1 Peter 4, 7 and 8 says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Look at verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. Why? Love will cover a multitude of sins. Yeah? So, Lord says, I want you to reach the wanderers. I'm not telling you to call them out. I want you to be merciful to them. And I want your love to cover their sins. I want you to protect them. Give them a safe place where they can talk. Yeah? Listen, this is really what Gail and I do. This is what we've given our life to. You know, I tell you right now, I don't need to tell you about your sin. You already know where you're blowing it. Is that right? I mean, the Lord gave us a conscience. Apart from the Holy Spirit, you know right from wrong. We have the Holy Spirit to help us walk in the freedom of not sinning. You know, I know that there's a thing out there in the world that, you know, people don't want to join the church or become a Christian because they want to be free. And let me tell you what real freedom is. Freedom is knowing I don't have to sin. That's freedom. You know what's not freedom? Not being able to stop sinning. That's bondage. Real freedom is me having a choice. I'm not doing this. Yeah? And we get that from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be able to walk in that type of victory. And when we blow it, oh, we got the confessions card. If I confess my sins, Lord, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy to help us in time of need. Man, his mercy is new every morning. It never runs out. How many of you would agree, Pastor Vic, I need a merciful heart. I need a merciful heart. Not out trying to catch you. I want to reach you. I want to catch you in your sin. I want to catch you in your act. Man, we got to dig that C-R-A-P out of our heart. Love holds no record of wrongs. Yeah? There's certain things inside of us, I think, that the Lord is saying in this hour, man, there has to be an outpouring of mercy. There needs to be an outpouring. And listen, this doesn't mean that we are enabling bad behavior. We don't do that here. But man, we can repent. We repent together. Amen? That's what happened at the men's meeting yesterday. It's beautiful, wasn't it, man? Great job, Xavier. Back to Matthew chapter 12, verse 7. I want to close with this. We're going to have communion now. God bless you. I don't know if we can get a little soft music or anything in the back. That would be great. But let's go back to where we started with Matthew chapter 12, verse 7. You guys tracking with me today? You getting something out of it? Yeah, is it helping you? You know, I know you notice what's happening. You know, I'm pretty passionate, and you know I can preach. But there's something about this, there's a solemn meekness that's stirring in my heart. And this isn't a preaching thing. You know, I'm not preaching this. I'm not preaching at you. Man, I'm just saying there's some things that God wants to do in our heart. Amen? To help us to do what we're supposed to do. If anybody doesn't have a communion cup like this, would you raise your hand and our ushers will get those to you. I have two up front here, please. Two up front. Anybody else? So Matthew chapter 12, verse 7 is where we started. And Jesus said this, if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. And I begin with a comment, a reflection, you know, looking inside myself and asking myself this question. I wonder how many times I've condemned the guiltless because I didn't know this meaning, mercy over sacrifice. You know, and so, you know, there's only one thing that can make you guiltless. Do you understand? There's only one thing that can make you guiltless, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the only hope we have, to be guiltless. So listen, when somebody is saved and they've received the sacrificial blood of Jesus and you hold them guilty, you're on the wrong side of this thing. Come on, I'm telling you, unforgiveness will rob you of your personal growth in Christ. Because the measure you forgive is the measure you'll be forgiven. And Jesus makes that very, very clear. It doesn't mean that you need to trust. I'm not telling you to enter back into an abusive relationship. No, but you can forgive in your heart. Yeah? So there's certain things that we need to know. You know, I was also thinking about this, that, you know, Jesus said that, you know, learn this saying that I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And we were talking about how, you know, mercy is this genuine, heartfelt affection towards God and others. And it's not just going through the motions religiously as a ritual, but it's this genuine affection. And I was thinking, you know, Jesus Christ, man, he modeled the purity of mercy with a genuine sacrifice. He did both. He wasn't just going through the motions. Amen? So the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ is the purest form of God's mercy. And it's new every morning for us. Yeah, we get to keep getting forgiven. And one day we're going to get to heaven. There won't be any more nonsense of our sin or our sickness or our disease. But we can have a piece of that here. Right? By loving each other with an eternal commitment. Amen. Come on, are you hearing this? It's so far beyond us. That's why we need help. That's why we need each other. That's why we need the Word of God, right? That's what we need. So listen, I'm going to ask you to open this up, and I'm going to have you take the bread, and then also I'm going to have you open up the juice, because we're going to pray something out loud together, and then I'm going to have you take both at the same time, okay? I'm sure everybody here recognizes that the bread represents the broken body of Jesus, right? You don't have to take it right now. We're going to pray first. If you did, spit it out. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. They're like going, ah, bah. Oh. So after we pray this prayer, then you can take the bread and the cup. You know, the bread represents the broken body of Jesus, and of course, the cup represents His perfect sacrificial model of mercy for you. Amen. So pray this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your chesed, your mercy. We thank you, Jesus, for offering yourself as a living sacrifice. We thank you for keeping your promise to us. We thank you for your unwavering loyalty and your deep personal care for each one of us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your loving kindness. We thank you for your goodwill towards us. Thank you that when we're miserable and afflicted, you invite us to remember you, to remember your sacrifice on the cross, which is by far the purest form of mercy. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your enduring commitment to save me, to cleanse me, and to forgive me of all my sins. In Jesus' name. And you can partake now. What do you think we get the worship team back up here and sing that second song? Yes. Can we do that?
Yes.
Listen, yeah, we'll do that, and then we'll let you roll. Actually, you can roll now if you need to. But I think it's good for us to sing this song one more time. Amen. How many got something out of today? Yeah. We're on the right track, aren't we, church? We're on the right track. And I love doing life with you, and I love doing ministry with you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.